There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It's Drive Live Talks Automotive, and today we're treating the topic with something a little bit different. I'll first introduce our guest. We've got motoring journalist Damien Reid. Damien, how are you?
Good to be back. All fine. It's been a busy couple of weeks with Grand Prix and Motor Show and everything else. I've been away for a little bit, but winding down now to the festive season.
You're looking well and relaxed. We've also got Alex Kappa-Murdoch, better known as Miss Autono. Alex, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And as Damien says, really busy few weeks for all of us. In fact, I've not even seen Damien since the Motor Show. We didn't even catch up at the F1.
I know, you've both been very busy, and we'll hear a bit more about that later. But you've got your new business partner with you today.
I certainly do. Young Mr. Jamie Benton, also known as the Car Kid.
Hello.
Yeah. How are you?
Good, very good. Yeah.
So you're going to be talking to us about cars today, really. Yep. Your perspective, maybe from the back seat, not quite the front driver's seat yet, but we'll get there.
Yeah, and it's funny actually because, as you know, the Miss Autono concept came about because there was a lot of women that felt that they weren't getting the right information from your kind of typical car review programs. And we wanted to offer like a safe place to review cars. Mm-hmm. And then Jamie and I are in the same flight academy trampoline class at Bounce, and Jamie's a well-known influencer, YouTuber, has some great videos, and so did that and was really into cars. And it is amazing actually because, in fact, Damien and I were chatting to Ange from Porsche a few weeks ago at the Concours, and suddenly she was saying that it's amazing when she chooses a new car, even though it's a company car, her daughter almost has the last say as how comfortable she feels and how much she can see. And then I realised how important it is to actually get everybody involved, because when you choose a car, you're not just choosing a car for yourself, you're thinking about your entire family.
It is a good point, actually, which is what you did, of course, when you bought your car.
Yeah, I considered all of the children.
all of those things, and you just went for the fast one.
Yes.
In the end. But it is a good point. You do need to think about these things. So if you've got a couple of kids, you need to think that there's space in the back, you know, the simple things. Some people go for the videos and the headrest, you know, the front headrest, so that keeps the kids engaged. That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. Mm. But actually, and that's what I said, but then Jamie pointed out a number of... So, for instance, like, what's wrong with having the TV in the back?
I think what's wrong for me anyway is that when I'm watching the TV screen, I get really, like, dizzy and I have, like, a headache and stuff. I don't know. That's
and
just
it turns
me.
Out lots okay. of kids over okay. the age of 4 get car sick in cars with entertainment systems. So you're okay when you're younger, but as you get older, your brain develops, which is why adults struggle with gaming when adults try to get into, like, simulators. As Damien knows, you know, motor racing, you get anybody over the age of 21 trying to train in a simulator, they can't do it because you suffer from sickness.
Okay, so Jamie, if I can ask you, when your parents are looking at a car, what things really matter to you? What do you think about and what do you prefer or dislike?
I think the one thing that is mostly good for me, the thing that I most like, is USB ports in the back. That's the one thing that I like.
And, you know, is that because you've got lots of things to charge or you want to? Because you said you get sometimes a bit travel sick if you're watching a screen. So yep. what's connected to the USB that's so vital?
I think if you're going out to a restaurant or something, and I know a lot of kids get bored at the table, personally not me, but if you are, it's good to, like, charge up your devices on the way to the restaurant or, like, anywhere else that you're going. So I think it's good to, like, keep up your charge.
So top tip is USBs, ports in the back.
Yes.
Anything, what else from your perspective, sitting in the back, what do you, if your parents say, right, we could have car A, B or C, what would you most like to see? What features maybe?
I'm mostly going to say, if you're having TVs in the back, wireless headphones. That's a big thing. Wireless headphones.
This is very high tech, isn't it?
It is. It surprises me, the TV thing. I hadn't made that association between the sickness thing and having the TVs in the back. My kids sit in the back with iPads. There's not a peep out of them. They're a little bit older than you, Jamie. But I get that with the USB thing, so you can charge. And no anxiety over the iPad going dead in the restaurant. You don't want that. I understand that. What about a Wi-Fi connection? Because more and more cars have Wi-Fi connections or some kind of internet.
Personally, connection. I've never experienced a car with Wi-Fi connections, but if that was, that would be the greatest moment of my life.
That would
be. YouTube in the car.
That would be, yeah.
It's not a bad thing, is it?
Yeah.
So if you were looking at a few different cars, Jamie, would you like it to be a big sort of 4x4 car, or do you prefer something that's maybe a bit more sporty? What would be your preference?
Oh, that's a hard question. I like the idea of going fast in cars, but also I like the idea of going safe and saving the environment. That's why I think Tesla is a really good car, because first of all, it's saving the environment, it goes fast, and it's just a great car.
Now, Damien, you're looking on now. Is this something that you're seeing lots of when people are looking for advice about cars? They think about how will my children react to this purchase? It's quite a big purchase.
It's becoming more of an issue, for sure. And onboard items are becoming a bigger thing, as you're saying, you know, USB ports, ease of getting in and out of the car, the safety features that are in the rear of the car, such as how many airbags and the collision prevention systems that are put into like side impact protection, that sort of thing. So you get, for instance, with minivans, you know, you don't have the same kind of side impact protection as you do with an SUV, for instance, because the sliding door, you're missing one pillar in the structure of the car. Mm. So there is that, and it is becoming, yeah, it's becoming more of a thing that's being considered, especially in this region too, because a lot of people move out to here with young families or start families here, and it's probably more of an issue when buying a car in this part of the world than perhaps in other parts.
Do you think that there's a style over safety argument as well, though? Because people want to drive something that they feel proud of or people might be impressed by too.
There's always that, yeah. I mean, there's always, and that's the thing, though. This is where, for instance, sports car manufacturers are moving into other areas now. We had the launch a few weeks ago. Lamborghini announced their SUV, which is a big thing. And there's others that are coming out. Rolls Royce are going to release an SUV as well. So, you know, they're going down that path of thinking of the fact that there's more than just the driver at stake, or the driver and the spouse at stake in the car process these days. They're either consolidating and bringing down the number of cars, or they're adding the family car. But style is becoming a very big thing for at that end of the market.
It is. Well, we were talking about this last week on this segment, and somebody texted in and said, I need to get something which is great for the family, but I also want to look cool. That was basically the question. So what should I buy? So it was Ibtisham, who was here last week, who immediately said Ford Raptor. Can't go wrong with that. And, you know where he's coming from there. Yeah. But that, I mean, it's a really good point. You want to, as NLT points out, you want to be proud of what you're driving in, because you spend a lot of time in it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, don't you?
Yeah, and you know, we've changed as a society in the last, say, 30 years. When you look at your parents' generation and what they thought would get around, I mean, you look at how people lived and worked back then, it was very it wasn't as flexible as it is now. We're on flexi time. We don't have, you know, the strict uniform regulations or dress codes to go into offices now. People hot desk, and it's a much more fluid society now, and that flows through to the lifestyle situation, and then also how you live and what you drive.
Ain't that the truth? Text in, NLT, there are a couple of texts in. We'll come back to, I suppose, the EV one. But I just wanted to ask this to you, Jamie. I don't know, somebody's texted in, what about low windows for kids to see out while they're in the back? Is that something that you would worry about? Would you spend any time kind of watching the world go by, or are you concentrated on what's plugged into the USB?
Yeah, I think if you have younger and older kids, it's good to have lower windows, but not too low, because I've been in a car where the window's way too low, where you have to go really touch it really far down. I don't know how to describe it. It's hard. But it's too far down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've got you.
It gets uncomfortable. So
right.
I think it's good to have low windows, but not too low.
Okay. Right. We're talking on Drive Live Talks Automotive. We're talking all about the considerations when you buy a family car. We'll be tackling not just the entertainment, the safety, but the cool factor too.
Drive Live Talks Automotive.
Our guest today is Damien Reid, motoring journalist. Damien, how are you?
All good, thank you.
Alex Kappa-Murdoch from Miss Auto Know. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And we've got Jamie, or we should be referring to you as the Car Kid, really. That's your that's your real name, isn't it?
Thank you.
So we've been talking a lot about features and cool stuff on the car that you might want if you're one of the people that has to sit in the back. Now, Jamie, I have to tell you, we've had a text in that says, OMG, how cool is the Car Kid? Hashtag the Car Kid. So somebody is liking what you have to say, whether it's about being able to see out the windows or whether they've got TVs in the back seat. It's kind of these things that maybe we don't think about because we're sat in the front, but it's something for you that's kind of an issue. Now, Alex, I guess you set up Miss Autono because you wanted women to feel like they could come for advice, and some women have children and maybe this is a consideration for them. What are the features that they're coming to you and requesting or saying? What cars have this kind of feature?
The biggest thing is that, sort of taking a step back, that most women are completely stuck, in all honesty. I mean, even I would be, you know, we're looking at replacing one of our cars and it's difficult. There are so many choices and options out there. And I think Damien will agree with me that there are no bad cars anymore. I mean, generally bad cars. So there are lots of options and lots of people with many different opinions. So what's the best thing to do? Well, actually, speak to everybody that's involved in purchasing the vehicle and everybody that's involved in having to travel in the vehicle. So many times in radio we get the question, I'm thinking about buying my wife a car, what shall I buy for her? You know, any suggestions? And the first suggestion is, why don't you speak to your wife? Why don't you ask your wife? So let's go a step further. Let's ask our children. The first thing that Jamie said when I picked him up this morning was, oh, cool, obviously, because that's all he says. But the second thing was, that's really great to have a red car. But why?
Because it's unique. Like, we were just driving down the Sheikh Zayed Road, and all we saw was black, white, and, like, brown colors on the car. And you really take into interest, if there's a red car, the first thing you're going to do is look at it, because it's bright and poppy. If there's a blue, if there's a yellow, you just want to look at it. I think that's why it's nice to have different colour.
And classically, a red car is a fast car. I know it's not that way, but, you know, if you have a red
Ferraris.
Sports car, Ferrari, well, exactly. That's a reasonable thought. I'd never thought of it that way. But it is kind of that. There are so many silver cars, you kind of get bored of silver cars.
Yeah,
but even, like we were discussing, you know, if you get picked up from school and there are hundreds of cars and lots of people have the same car, it becomes really confusing and it starts to stress you out. So having the ability to identify a vehicle by its looks, even the Discovery, you know, it was a Discovery Sport. It was a really nice colour. It had extra features on it and it was instantly recognisable.
Yeah.
We've had a question in, Damien, you might be able to help with this one. It says, how do we prep kids for EV future? How do we wean them away from the noisy, big engine 4x4s and get them to look for safe, eco-friendly cars with low pollution or an ESMA Green rating?
They won't have to do much because it's going that way anyway. Mm. So I guess, to get the thinking around going in that direction, you then sell the high points of those cars. So things like their connectivity, things like their ability to plug in, as you're saying before, like with some Wi-Fi that are in cars, and all these things that you'll be able to run with these cars because they'll be running 60 volt systems, which can then run a lot more electricity, a lot more electrical products inside the car. So I guess that's the way that you can sell the desirability of these cars and get them away from the desirability of cars that are just that sell on the noise and the big engine appeal.
I've actually found that the majority of people who are still against electric vehicles tend to be older. They tend to be people who will say, I don't want to live in a society where I don't get to change gear, or I like the roar of an engine. But genuinely, it was genuinely one of the last things I noticed with the Tesla was the lack of noise, because it's just not apparent. Like, two things, the lack of noise and the 25 minutes it took me to learn how to switch the thing off. I actually had to sit in the car and YouTube how do I switch off a Tesla. Laugh away, kiddo.
But it's interesting, though, because I asked you, Jamie, what do you like in a car? What do you look for? And you said, well, yes, I want something that maybe can go fast, but I also want to be safe. And that's maybe, is that something that you think because you're into cars and you're concerned with safety? Or do you think lots of your friends would think like that too?
I think not a lot of my friends would think that, because I think they're more into, like, if someone asked what's your dream car, there'd be a Lamborghini, a Ferrari, a Bugatti, like, all those, like, big, fast brands popping up. But really, if you're going really fast down the highway and somebody just bops into you, you're pretty much dead because you're going really fast, you're going on a highway. When really, if you're going onto an SUV and you're going full speed, really nothing can, like, push you over. It's like trying to push the biggest kid on the playground over. It's just impossible.
Well, you do have more chance, do you, I suppose? I suppose? Here's a couple of things. People are giving you props here. I'm just going to read another couple of texts out to you. Love the Car Kids input to the show. Great to have someone so young who's also super cool.
Thank you.
Nice. I like that. Also, and this is a good point, and just let me ask you this, Alex as well. Car manufacturers take note. Ask the kids. Let the hashtag the Car Kid do a review.
Yeah, I mean, there will be lots of reviews coming from Misotino and the Car Kid, and it's right. You know, you do have to ask everybody involved, and there are these misconceptions. You know, thinking about, like even Jamie says, you know, being in an SUV, every single vehicle has ratings on how safe that vehicle is, and we can't presume that because a vehicle is low and quick that it's not going to be as safe as something that's big and heavy. There are many different ways that you have to look at it, but definitely I would say in a poll that we did online about a month ago, when asking people what they wanted in a vehicle, I thought, you know, looks and styling and price are going to be up there, and I was presuming people were going to say electric vehicles and put them first, but it's not. People are still concerned about safety's a big one, but first and foremost, as you said at the beginning, Tim, you want to look cool. Cool comes before. You don't go, I want to be safe and look cool. You say, I want to look cool and be safe. Mm. And the safety aspect is still something. I think there's so many features on vehicles that we do not know that they're there, what they do and how they benefit us. Even today, like the first thing that Jamie's doing tonight when he gets home is altering the tailgate on your mum's car, isn't it? You know, so few people know how to adjust the height level on their tailgate and spend 10 years moaning that they can't reach it.
Jamie, could you come and sort the tailgate on mine? Because I've got no idea how you
I literally that. Just learned it this morning, this afternoon because of her. My mum keeps on complaining about how high the boot is, and I'm like, I think you can change it, but I don't know how. And then I just learned, so
I didn't know.
That's
yeah,
brilliant.
There was an issue with boots and the height of them.
But I guess on a Porsche.
Yeah, I guess accessibility is something that's really important because, okay, you know, Jamie's of an age where you hop in and out of a car, but you know, you have smaller children, and these SUVs that are quite popular, very difficult to get children in and out of them too.
Yeah, so if you think about the Volvo XC60 when it came out in 2006, 2007.
Oh, no, before that.
Before that?
2003, I think.
Was it?
Mm.
Is it that long ago?
Different badge, but same car.
Am I getting old? Are we getting old? Damien and I are finally getting old.
Congratulations.
Thanks. When it came out, they actually incorporated, that's one of the major things they thought about in terms of their packaging for sales, was how, not so much for children, but for adults, putting young children in and out of the car, having the exact height that was right after you had fitted the car seat, not before you'd fitted the car seat, and then going one stage further to make sure that there was a sort of internal booster seats for, you know, somebody who's not quite teenage level or somebody that's a bit smaller. So yeah, I mean, we definitely, you know, there are lots of things to consider. Height is seems to be something that a lot of youngsters and also adults as well want. You know, if you think about the CSUV category, the compact SUVs, they're so popular throughout the world now because you've got that high seating position that means that you've got clear visibility, which means that you feel safer, which means that you have less fatigue, therefore less accidents, but also that compact exterior, which means that it's easy to park. So you're combining your perceived safety of being in a large high vehicle with the dimensions of being in an easy to park urban crossover.
I'm just looking at this list, Jamie, of some of the things that would be ideal for you in a car. So we've talked about Wi-Fi and the kids' TV and the USB port. That was something else that you'd said. But also, interestingly enough, you've put down here things like a backseat cool box for drinks and snacks, slide shades, lounge seats. I mean, this is a very comfortable way to travel. I know when I was younger, my parents had a car. I got in it and I was lucky enough if I got a say in what went on the radio. But times are changing, and we'll get back to that. We've also had a text in about air seats in particular, so we'll have a look and get back to SG with the answer to that one. Drive Live Talks Automotive, and we've been looking at the sort of requirements or the desirability if you're one of the children in the back of a car, and we have been looking at some of the great features that we enjoy. But we have a text that I said we'd get to, and it's from SG, and this says, I haven't found any car with a seat that's ergonomic friendly, and that's for people of different heights with support at the right spot for back and neck. Secondary to this, my 8-year-old daughter doesn't like the seats in our car, as she cannot sleep comfortably if the driver's an hour or more in the back. So first part, I guess, Damien, cars that have adjustable seat height, you know, I guess my husband is a lot taller than I am, and we share a car, so obviously we both have very different driving positions. But this person seems to struggle to find a car that satisfies different heights.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many now configurations in cars with seats where there's millions of settings with the seats, and it's important that you must have, like, if you're sitting in the front for a moment, it's important you must have your headrest setting right to support your neck in an accident. But also now a lot of cars are having electric rear seats. And that's also a huge benefit, because, I mean, if you're slightly taller, and with the sloping rear roof line of cars now, I was sitting in a car the other day and my head was touching it in the back. And so, you know, you can sort of lower the rear seat a little bit so you can clear it, but then also keep the back squab upright. So, you know, there's lots of ways you can move the rear seats around now, and there's also other things that are coming in. There's shoulder supports, there's thigh supports, there's a million things that didn't exist, you know, 5 years ago. That's also now, it's been for the driver for a long time, but it's now creeping into the rear seat as well.
I've never come across a thigh support, but I like the sound of that. Do you know what I really like in my car? I've got an armrest.
I think BMW and Golf have done it for years.
What a difference! But the point is, it's the smallest things that actually make a massive difference.
One of the things, we drove the Aston Martin, the saloon car about 2-3 years ago, and one of the things I was driving along
Rapide.
And I'm saying the Rapide, that's the one. Out of my mind, was we got back and spoke to the engineer and the designer, and I said, I don't know, I just feel really comfortable in that car, and I realised that as soon as you shut the door, the armrest touches the bottom of your elbow, and it's right where your hand is on the steering wheel, and it makes, you know, a 6-hour drive no problem at all. It's the tiny little things. Ergonomics are so important inside a car.
Mm. And it's something you don't spend enough time thinking about, do you? That's the thing. So asking Jamie for his opinion in the back, how many adults sit in the back of their own car? Probably not that many.
Yeah, not too many. I mean, manufacturers put a lot of effort into the ergonomics of the driver. Very much so, to the point where this last year, a couple of the manufacturers have gone ahead with kind of getting rid of the original frame for the seat and reinventing the driver's seat. You wouldn't really notice unless it was pointed out to you, but it only takes 20 minutes of driving to start to suffer fatigue if your seating position is wrong. So you need to think about things like, when you test a vehicle, make sure you test it for more than 20 minutes to get to properly clarify whether that seat suits you or not. And also think about, you know, see if somebody can show you the correct seating position, because I'd say 98% of people probably don't sit in their car in the correct position. And also, on top of that, take your phones and wallets out of your pocket. I spent half a day training with a kinesiologist for motorsport and driving to find out the huge difference it makes to drive and take your phone out of your back pocket, or something that's in your back pocket.
It's one of the biggest things, actually, talking to an orthopedic person was amongst guys, is they put the wallet in their back pocket, and then if you're sitting in the car, you're sitting at an angle for a good portion of the day, and it throws your spine out, and it's just little things like that.
But also it stops the flow of energy, so actually the amount of time it takes to swerve and avoid an accident is greatly reduced if you have your phone in your pocket, because of the waves.
That's scary. That's a scary thought. We had a text in earlier from SG about the back seats of the car. Now, Alex, you mentioned a Lincoln. Somebody's texted and said the all-new 2018 Lincoln Navigator has 30-way seats.
Yeah, I did bring up the Lincoln Continental.
Okay.
So the Lincoln Continental has, the rear seats, the way that the rear seats operate is incredible. And there's a massage centre as well. And it's pretty much like being business class on a plane. Damien was saying that the S-Class as well has got phenomenal rear seats. In terms of sleeping, hopefully that means that they're sleeping upright and that they're still sitting upright in their seat, because you certainly don't want to be travelling and lying along the back of the seat. Although Jamie did point out something earlier, that when you're camping and you want to go to sleep on the back seat, what was the thing with the seatbelts?
So this is if the car is stopped and you like go camping a lot. The thing that I absolutely hate is that when you're lying down, there's just like the seatbelt thing which you plug
the
thing in, yeah, the buckle, it just gets into your like rib and it just is so uncomfortable. It just doesn't make sense. Like, there should be like a strap which you can plug the buckle into, like, so it's just flat.
And there are on a couple of vehicles now where they're actually recessed, aren't they? So they're sort of more flat into the seat.
You can
seat.
Get that in some of the taxis now. Someone else has just texted in, no name on this one, and it says, I think the best thing new cars have come up with recently is to have multiple memory seat positions. Mm. Rear seats should also think about having these settings for family members, because you could have a couple of kids and they might not always sit in the same seat, and maybe it could be great if you could adjust them.
The big thing now is rear reclines. So I think there was a 7-degree or 5-degree recline on the rear seats in the Discovery.
Yep.
I know Mazda, they knocked theirs back 5% from its previous generation, and then a further incline if you wanted to recline the seat another 7%, so or 7 degrees, which makes a lot of difference.
Can we, we've only got about a minute left, but can we just look at your, you've sent us 10 top things to consider, Alex, when you're buying a family car. And if you run through them for us, but we'll just seek the advice, just briefly, of hashtag the car kid, who is with us.
So things to consider when buying a car for a family: space, and more space. Having space in the front, side, back, pockets for things.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. What about the boot height? Is that important?
Do you mean like the boot or like the back seat and the
both?
Boot?
Should children be able to set it so they can reach the boot lid?
Oh, this is hard. So, wait, okay.
Can I give you a quicker one then?
Yes.
A quicker one is, what about the entertainment features? What's the two most important things for entertainment in the rear?
So, definitely having USBs.
Yeah.
And maybe, and if you have a TV, wireless headphones.
Wireless headphones.
I'm putting that out there. Wireless headphones. Mm-mm. We need them.
Now, the car kid, that's a young man who knows exactly what he wants behind the wheel, or two seats behind the wheel.
Yeah.
That's all we've got time for Drive Live Talks Automotive. Our guest today, motoring journalist Damien Reid. Damien, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Good to have you back.
Always good.
And Alex, for Orbis Autono, let's give you your full title. Thank you very much for coming
in. Thank you.
And of course, the car kid, sometimes known as Jamie.
Yeah.
But mostly known as the car kid. Check him out on YouTube if you want a bit more from Jamie on all things car related.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.